Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Might as well be summer, Nathan Forlina. What does this number say?
That says 49 right there. You know, it feels like it's about 75.
You know what's
ADLs.
Crazy is sometimes of the year you see 49, you're like, you're pissed because it's so cold, windy, and everything. Today, it feels like it's 75,
It is beautiful. I mean, I'm wearing shorts right now. I wore a pair yesterday, but I haven't worn shorts since November, probably. So it's been a while, and I'm excited to bust them out. So.
I was going to break out the shorts, but I didn't just yet. But you're doing the shorts and hoodie thing. That's what I do. I can do shorts as long as my top is covered. I've got to wear the hoodie or the sweatshirt.
I am not the biggest fan of short sleeve t-shirts, so usually those don't break out till at least 70 degrees. So I'm always wearing, like, even into September, I start to bust out the long sleeves already. So I'm more of a, I like the long sleeves on top, short on the bottom. That's how I've always gone. So
yeah, as long as my top area is warm, I'm okay. You can deal with your legs being cold a little bit.
You just gotta, like, put them together and conserve a little bit of heat, and you're all good then.
I know some people, though, man. One guy in particular, Mark Brennan from Fight on State, longtime Penn State reporter, he wears shorts, like, all the time, all throughout the winter. It's like a running joke that it's 15 degrees and he's wearing shorts. My kid came home from school yesterday, and I didn't know this, but he's got a friend that in the junior high, he wears shorts every day. And I got to think, I was like, you know, is that like questionable parenting there if you send your kid to school in shorts when it's 11 degrees? Like, does the school have a responsibility? Look, schools have a lot of responsibility to do a lot of things. But if a kid's showing up to school every day wearing shorts when it's 11 degrees outside and the feel like temperature is 4, does that create an issue?
Oh, I don't think at all. I mean, listen, if this kid is walking, let's say, 2 miles to school in shorts when it's 11 degrees out, that's a little bit of a parent issue right there. But if he's riding the bus, just getting dropped off, going right into school, who cares what he's wearing? I mean, sometimes it is 85 degrees in the school for some reason, so I don't care usually what people are wearing. But I personally wouldn't wear shorts 15-degree weather. That's the bottom line for me. I feel like if I look outside and I see it, any white on the ground, I instantly, like, I can't wear shorts even inside the house because it doesn't matter. I'm going to feel cold no matter what.
This is probably some TMI, but who the hell cares? My wife, a couple months ago, because it's been really bad the last couple months. So she said, "You got those long johns in your dresser. Why don't you wear them?" I've never worn long johns. So last month or so, I've been wearing the long johns underneath my jeans. And that is, I'm telling you, as somebody, I'm 51 years old. I've basically never worn long johns in my life outside of maybe 1 or 2 inches until the last month. But the last month I put the long johns on under, it has made, because it's just been brutally cold.
Long johns under the jeans are a good play, because I feel like the jeans material, they make your legs. So that's why it's a good play there. If I'm wearing sweatpants, I don't put long johns under. But
so no long johns under sweat. Okay. All right.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. I just don't prefer it. But if you're wearing jeans, especially in the cold, like, I'm thinking, like, if you're going to, like, a Penn State football game in December, you have to have the long johns underneath the jeans in the cold, because it is going to be – that material is going to be freezing against your bare skin.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's how I stay on it. So
I got a couple of interesting discussions we're going to have today. One is about baseball. Jerry and Bellwood brought up a question yesterday about – the shift in baseball. And if you listened at all, Jerry talked for 4 or 5 minutes, made a bunch of good points. And I said, hey, you know, if we had more time, we'll get into some of these. And I will get into it here in a few minutes. And I have a completely it is a sports related issue. You might not necessarily think so with regards to Penn State, which is spending $700 million on its football stadium and has the highest paid assistant football coach in the country. And I don't – is he the highest – is he higher paid assistant coach in any NFL team? NFL, any NFL assistants make $3.1 million?
Let me take a look at that.
Bottom line is, Penn State's been spending a ton of money lately, right?
Yes.
Everybody knows they're about to close up to as many as 12 branch campuses. What does that say? What does that say about our priorities and values and things like that? I want to get to that in a little bit.
I did look it up. Chip Kelly is the only guy who makes more than that with $6 million annually in the NFL.
Where did he go?
He went to the Raiders. I'm assuming.
Because he was with Buckeyes last year. Yeah. And they gave him $6 million as an assistant coach?
That's what it says right here. So,
and he's Monken's the only assistant coach in college or pro football that makes more than Jim Knowles.
It says Todd Monken makes $3 million, so I don't know.
So if Jim Knowles at 3 points. So
it's probably close. He's at least tied with like the second in the NFL.
So the question I kind of have is if you're looking to close 12 branch campuses where you, even if you have declining enrollment, we're still educating people in this country, right? But you're doing it, you're going to do it at a time when you're spending $700 million. I think it's at least worth a discussion, which we will get into in a little bit. Now, yesterday, Nathan, Dan called in. First off, Dan asked a real good question. I can't remember what it was, but it was a really good question. And then he said, I said, well, maybe we can get into it with Nathan tomorrow. And he said, well, I've got another question for Nathan for tomorrow. So I'm going to turn the show over to Nathan here for a few minutes and just let Dan, you fire away. I'm gonna go get some coffee. You fire away with whatever you got for my man.
Okay. Now, Nathan, last week, and Corey, now we discussed stadiums, you know, their size, their condition, their location. Well, we spent probably a third of the program on that with other callers chipping in. Now, what is the population and the age of the five stadiums in the country? Now, we mainly started out as baseball. And I said it was the best stadium for seating and room was Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Then I said the most beautiful stadium was the Dodger Stadium. Now, my three oldest stadiums would be Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Comiskey Park, and maybe Dodger Stadium for the oldest.
Comiskey was just rebuilt 20 years ago.
Yeah,
so it's new Comiskey. Old Comiskey. So Dodger Stadium is probably the third oldest.
Stadium, I believe. I think it was the Coliseum until they left, so I think it's Dodger Stadium now.
Okay, and then how about the four other ones then?
Yeah, so baseball, it's definitely Fenway and Wrigley. They've been used. So Fenway, 1912, Wrigley, 14. Dodger Stadium, 62. How about that? 52-year difference between the two oldest.
Yeah. How about Angel Stadium? I didn't realize Angel Stadium's that old.
Yeah, 66.
They did a ton of renovations.
Kansas City Royals, that's Kauffman Stadium, 73. The Rogers Center in Toronto, 89. I remember when that was all the rate. And then New Comiskey Park, so I guess it's called Rate Field, which I had no idea.
Guaranteed Rate Field, yeah.
Guaranteed Rate Field. That was 91, Dan.
Okay, then you satisfy my curiosity. And another thing in the Mirror, there was an article, it was into the PIA, I think it's going against President Trump on transistor, and if they don't go along with his policies, then they'll lose federal funding.
No, if what we're no, the PIAA is going along with President Trump's executive order that they are not going to allow biological men to compete with women. This is obviously something I've been very passionate about. But that came out, yesterday, I guess it was? But the PIAA is going to enforce that. They are not going to allow the insanity of biological men to compete against girls in PIAA sports, which is... I mean, that's as common sense as it gets, but I'm just reading here something from Philly Inquirer. The Philly schools, will continue to allow transgender athletes. So this is something interesting. That could be something that Philadelphia school. I'm getting asked to pay for the website here on the Philadelphia Inquirer, which I'm not going to do. So I can't read the whole thing. But it says Philly schools will continue to allow transgender athletes to participate in sports. So, PIAA is not going to allow that.
Okay, let's switch to Jerry's call yesterday about the baseball.
Fantastic. Hang on. Yeah, that was. I got to set it up. There are a lot of things going on there. So we're going to set that up here in a couple minutes. And you can call back if you have any thoughts on what we – because Jerry's calling baseball yesterday. I told Nathan a few minutes ago. I just sat back and listened for 5 minutes. He brought up 8 or 9 excellent discussion points in a row. All right. Very good, Dan. Appreciate it. Nebraska man, what you got, buddy?
Yeah, Corey, a couple questions here. I don't know if you've seen it on it's been on SportsCenter most of the night and probably in the paper today about the Green Bay Packers making they're making a fuss about the tush push. They want the owners to take a vote on it. They want to ban it out for football.
It's got to go.
Yeah,
I completely disagree.
You disagree? Okay, that's good.
I disagree with that.
You like the tush push?
I think if it's in the rules, there's nothing illegal about it.
It wasn't in the rules 8 or 10 years ago. You couldn't push quarterbacks, so they changed the rule to allow it, and now they never allowed it because of safety, and now they're allowing it, and you can see these dudes. It's just a matter of time before somebody gets really hurt.
Yeah.
Hey,
hang on. That's a good discussion. So,
okay,
because I want to vet out Nathan's feelings on that a little bit more. The tush push works.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
There's no doubt it works.
It works if it's done correctly. You saw the Bills against the Chiefs in the playoffs try it plenty of times.
But here's the issue: if you have 350-plus pound men behind 190-to-200-pound quarterback pushing him with all their might, physics are going to come into play here. I could see somebody breaking their back and becoming paralyzed that way.
I could see somebody run downhill and getting paralyzed just taking a hit,
too.
It's football. It's a physical game.
But, again, they didn't allow this. For most of my recollection of football, and I'm not 100% certain about the NFL, college football never allowed it until probably recently. You couldn't just come up and shove the quarterback as hard as you could. If I had to guess, and maybe I'm probably stretching here, maybe within the last 8 to 10 years it's become – but 2030, you couldn't do that in the past because they were kind of worried about the quarterback then.
How was it defined in the rules? Like, how did it change?
You just couldn't push. You couldn't come up and push the quarterback.
But could you push a running back if he was in
the
pile?
No, you couldn't.
So you couldn't. Okay.
No, you just were not allowed to do that.
Okay. I was unaware that was, especially with like the running back, because you see a lot of the times maybe they get stood up, then offensive linemen come in after the play and just kind of push.
There used to be a rule prohibiting this, but it is no longer enforced because I believe it was thought to be too hard for the officials to see. I'm trying to find a year.
Well, I will
here.
Say it's not pretty difficult for the officials to see on tush push. Yes.
Because the tush, it used to be a very subtle thing. It's so dangerous, Nathan, that they had to be very subtle to do it that you could kind of get away with it. Now, again, you're putting offensive linemen in the backfield, crushing your quarterback from behind. Well, yeah, he's going to go forward for 2 or 3 yards, but isn't that dangerous? Why have we ever thought, why is he going forward for 3 yards? Because his spine is getting destroyed.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But it's crazy that a guy 3 years after doing this, probably 6-7 times game, Jalen Hurts hasn't suffered a back injury. It is strange. I don't understand how there hasn't been more injuries, but I'm all for it because if it's in the rules, and obviously if they change it, that's one thing. But I think that because the Eagles have success doing this, I don't think it should be changed because it's really hard to mimic, and we've seen a ton of teams try to do it. No team can do it like the Eagles. So,
Go ahead, Nebraska man.
My final two questions, Corey and Nate. Do you think that the owners will vote that out, or a lot of people like the tush push?
It will get voted out.
It will get voted out. I think it will be banned next year.
Yeah, I don't know about next year. It will get voted out because of of what we're just talking about here.
About the charity, yeah.
Once the league The NFL is such a reactionary league when it comes to PR. Once there's a backlash about safety, which there will be, the NFL is kind of a coward league. You know, they don't lead by example. They trail by example. They typically kind of sort of try to make good on their decisions.
When the PR gets bad, they
when it gets bad.
Yes.
But they don't
think about concussions really until all that stuff came out.
They're not proactive in doing these things. They're retroactive to save their ass from further criticism. So I think it could be a couple years before the tush push, but I do think it probably will be banned at some point.
Okay. Corey, my final question. Thank you for giving me some extra time. For you and Nate, do you think down the road, I'm not saying, you know, like real fast or real quick, but do you see down the road in the near future the PIA inserting the shot clock for high school boys and girls basketball?
They should.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times over the years. I asked Jared Klausman about that on the show a couple years ago. I've asked Mike Boydum about that. My understanding, and I don't know the latest, like within the last year or so, Nebraska man, my understanding is it's been talked about. There are people in favor of it. One drawback for, and we don't always think about this, especially in a technological age when I'm sitting here holding a cell phone that's got all the technology in the world you want. There are a lot of little schools that don't have the technology.
So shot clocks cost between $5,000 to $10,000.
Correct.
That's crazy.
And then you got to pay a shot clock operator. You got to pay that person, you know, whatever they pay game scoring officials, 25, 35, 50 bucks. So these little school could Glendale School District afford it? See, we think of the world in terms of Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan, and we think of high school of Altoona and Hollidaysburg. Well, Glendale High School is a tiny little school. Can they put in a $10,000 shot clock and pay somebody 35 or 50 bucks? And if you have to do this for JV games too, you'd think you got to do it for JV games too. So you got a JV boys and varsity boys. You got JV girls, varsity girls. Are you going to do it in junior high? Well, now you got to pay these people for that. So you see what I'm talking about here is that even if there are people that want the shot clock, and there are, implementing it is more of a logistical challenge than maybe we – because, look, there are – I mentioned Glendale. What about Williamsburg? What about I'm not trying to disparage any of these smaller schools. Claysburg, Kimmel, and this is just in our area. There are a bunch of tiny schools around Pennsylvania, and if you force them to upgrade into a shot clock situation, there could be some pushback there.
Yeah, it says right now only 12 states have this.
Only 12.
Only 12 states have it implemented. 30 to 35 second shot clock.
30. Okay. Good.
Right. Hey, thanks, you guys. Thanks for the time.
Good stuff. I am in agreement. You said earlier, and you think there should be a shot clock in high school basketball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I think you look at all, especially whenever you get to college level and then the NBA. The NBA shrinks to 24, college is 30, I believe. So I'm all in favor of it. I think 35 seconds is fair because the game is a little bit slower at the high school level. So I think 35 seconds is more than
fair.
Yeah,
that's reasonable. So. It used to be that way in college, and that was ridiculous. So when they dropped it to 30 in college – 6, 8, 10 years ago, whenever that was a good deal. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a lot of high school basketball. I did see a video clip of a high school game the other day where for the final 3 minutes of the first quarter, team just stood there. Dude just stood there 5 feet from half court, just dribbling the ball.
Yeah, that
for
can't
three
happen.
For 3 minutes.
That can't happen. That's the issue.
They didn't come out and guard a man to man. There was no trapping, no attempt to steal the ball. They just let them dribble the ball for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and then I guess the guy hit a three at the buzzer.
that is why we need the implementation there, is because while it doesn't happen too often, you don't see it too often, it does happen, and it's a loop in the rules that should not be there because it's expected you're playing basketball. You're not.
Here's why teams do that. I will tell you the Corey Geiger junior high basketball experience. All right, this is ninth grade. My hometown, Bryant, Arkansas. All right, so white school. Bunch of 6 foot white guys. We had a couple good years in the 80s, but by the 90s, not a great basketball program. Talking like 7 and 15 every year, that kind of deal. All right. So this is junior high, ninth grade. and we're playing Morrilton, okay? And our coach, Miss Morrilton team was loaded, man. They were stacked. So our coach came up with the game plan of let's just stall. Stall as long as we can. So first possession of the game, I wasn't a starter. I was a backup point guard. So by the time I got into the game, we weren't even doing this anymore. But first possession of the game, we held the ball for a minute and 10 seconds. They stole it, went down and dunked. Ninth grade. Second possession of the game, we tried to hold it, turned it over after about 25 seconds. They came down and dunked. So 3 minutes into the game, they had had possession for 4 seconds. And they were up 4-0 with two dunks. And you know, look, that's why you do that kind of thing.
Was the final score of the game like 18-2?
No, our coach, you know, good, respectable guy, new basketball coach, coached in Arkansas basketball for a long, long time. He finally realized this was a gimmick. It's not going to work. But you do gimmicks. Why do you do gimmicks, Nathan?
Because you need to beat a team that's better than
correct. When the other team is clearly better than you, and I'll never forget that day, that ninth freaking grade, these two dudes steal the ball. It's two different guys. Two different ninth graders, man, are breaking away on a steal and dunking the ball in ninth grade.
Are we talking like a 360 windmill dunk?
No,
and
really,
and then really putting
dunks,
it down the
court. But these were six,
they're ninth graders.
These were 6'4" ninth graders, you know, and we've got 5'10" white dudes that couldn't jump. We had one guy on our team who could barely dunk. So but that's why you run the shot.
Yeah,
that's why you do a gimmick like that. But you know.
Yeah, and I think
kills the game.
It kills the game, and that's why they need to implement a shot clock. And that's a good call. And it says right here, in 2022 it was a 9-5 vote against it, so it's getting pretty close.
Nine NPIAA?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like
so
I said,
it's close.
I have talked to people about this over the years, not really for the last year. I've always heard there's a lot of support for it. But then it comes down to how do you pull it off?
Yeah.
You know, or does this mean that you'd have a shot clock, again, in JV, in junior high? You don't think about the costs of having to pay a shot clock operator. You think about the cost of putting in $5,000 to $7,000. Well, now you got to pay these guys to operate the shot clock. The costs, schools, as I'm going to get to in the next segment, schools try to save money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, we'll take a break. Two good topics we're going to get to after the break.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know, just got the notification.
Great, smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it, safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh yeah, I know.
Keep your business in the know with the USPS Ground Advantage service. Visit usps.com/in-the-know.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? smile, you're on Cricket.
Requires new account and port in on $60 plan. First service charge taxed with sale. $25 activation fee. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
Hey,
I learn more and more from Nathan every day. I can't share what we just talked about, something in Portage, but good stuff. 946-0435. I want to push my baseball topic back for a minute because I at least think this is worth discussing. I know how the world works. Sports is king. Super Bowl ads cost, what, tens of millions of dollars now. It used to be a million or two or three for now. What's a Super Bowl ad? $10 million?
Probably close to it. I think it's like eight, I want to say.
Look, I know I'm not naive. I know how sports run the world. Shouldn't we every now and then stop for a second and wonder if that's a good thing? Nathan, you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Juan Soto, 700 and...
25 million, I want to say.
25? I thought it was like 56.
I could be wrong.
Shohei, 700 million. Juan Soto, 750 million.
Who, 765, yeah.
Who will be the first billionaire?
I'm saying Paul Skeens.
And I think that's a really... The only thing about Skeens...
I actually had
He's not going to get his contract for like 4 years. If he got it today, if Paul Skeens were a free agent today and could command it today, I think he'd get a billion.
Be close.
But the Pirates own his rights for long enough period of time.
The Pirates could screw this up for him.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I think it's going to be Wembanyama. If he's healthy, he's the kind of guy that could be a billion-dollar player.
I think the difference in contracts between the NBA and baseball is a little bit different.
No, like, so a lot of these NBA players are making $50 million now.
These players are...
Embiid? I think Embiid makes 50. I think
the Supermax right now is like $55 million.
Yeah, so... Right, so...
But like a guy like Shohei's making $70 million, so there's still a little bit of a gap there.
So here's... Again, you're listening to a sports show. This isn't Penn State Altoona Central, hosted by Corey Geiger, or Penn State Branch Campus Central, hosted by... That's not what this is. I realize what we're talking about. But when Juan Soto makes $765 million, and the people responsible for educating your children make $45,000 or $50,000, is that a society that we should be proud of? Is that something that our society, and look, you can tell me a billion times, it's just the way it is, Geiger, shut up. Well, sometimes you have to question just the way it is. So, Jerry O'Connell, you have no idea who Jerry O'Connell is, right?
Correct.
Okay. Stand By Me. Do you ever watch the movie Stand By Me from the 80s? Yeah, where the kids
Stephen
find
King
the
novel.
Dead body.
Yeah.
Well, the fat kid in that is Jerry O'Connell.
Okay.
Vern. And then like 10 years later, that fat kid became like a supermodel. He's in Jerry Maguire. He plays the star quarterback in Jerry Maguire, who's Tom Cruise's number. He's gonna be the number one draft pick. So the fat kid from Stand By Me turned into this awesome looking dude as he got older. He's now married to Rebecca Romaine, who played the blue chick in the original X-Men movies. She used to be married to John Stamos. Anyway, what the hell was I even talking about?
We were talking about Branch Campus.
Jerry O'Connell did a TV show in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, called Sliders. The premise is, it's kind of like a quantum leap thing. him and a few other people, they can slide into parallel universes, parallel dimensions. And this is really the – sliders is about the first thing I ever remember experiencing with parallel universe. Every damn thing has parallel universes now. The multiverse, every movie franchise deals with a multiverse. Well, 30 years ago, people didn't know what the hell the multiverse that were. They didn't think about it. So he created this TV show called Sliders, where he was a brilliant high school kid, and he created a way to make wormholes into other dimensions. All right. They went to one dimension. You know who the superstars on the planet were?
Teachers.
The educated people. Like the chess champion is the highest paid person in the world. The sports shows, they don't exist. The talk shows and all things, math competitions are the highest, or the Super Bowl. Math competitions are the what everybody tunes in to watch. And you're over there looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, why don't we celebrate things like that? Why do we celebrate Travis Kelce and the Tush Push and spend $10 million on a commercial for a game and some of the greatest human beings who will ever walk this planet, teachers, struggle from paycheck to paycheck? Why is our society like that?
I think the correct answer is because that's how business works. I think that's how...
Supply and demand.
That's supply and demand.
That's the answer.
Because whenever you have 130-some million eyeballs tuned in on something, you only have 27 eyeballs tuned into a teacher at one time. That, I think, is the difference.
That is the difference.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because I think the teachers are more impactful than...
You're a pretty smart fella.
99.999% of actors.
You nailed the answer right away. It is. That's how the business works. It's supply and demand. That's what people want. People want to be entertained. And so why reason I'm talking about all this is because Penn State President Neely Bindapudi, there's news today, yesterday, that they are going to be looking to potentially close up to 12 branch campuses. Now, the bigger branch campuses, Penn State Altoona, you go to Penn State Altoona, Nathan. Mm-hmm. People talk about this at Penn State Altoona. No, Penn State Altoona is safe. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, branch campus.
I think it is the third biggest.
45 minutes away. It's extremely important to Pennsylvania State University. Penn State Altoona is an extremely important tentacle of the Pennsylvania State University. So Penn State Altoona is safe. What if you're at a branch campus that's not safe? Okay. So, but they're talking about closing all this. And from a business standpoint, it's because these are in declining population centers. But you know what? Altoona is a declining population center. Do you know how many kids graduate from Altoona Area High School? How many did you graduate with?
Oh, I want to say just under 500.
Under 500. My wife graduated in 1988. She had 1,100 people in her graduating class. Yeah. If you graduated in the 60s, my understanding is that the most was like 1,200, 1,300 in every graduating class. Declining population centers. Altoona falls into the declining population center type of thing, clearly. So the reason I think it's fascinating is 45 minutes down the road, they're renovating a $700 million football stadium. $700 million could probably keep those 12 branch campuses open for 10 years. So why does nobody care at all that colleges have to close down? Lives impacted. There'll be tens of thousands of people's lives impacted by this. But you got to have your football stadium.
Because it brings the money in. That's just the sad truth. It's because it brings the money in. I'm not saying they're not. Obviously, you know, you'd like to see everything stay open for people's convenience and for people attending those universities. But they understand what's going to be bringing them in the money. It's crazy to say, but Penn State football will probably make them more money than all those college.
I'm going
to
say something. Everybody, if you have a child listening, turn it down. I do not want any children listening to what I'm about to say. All right? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. All right? And I've only done this a couple of times ever. So if you have a child listening, turn the radio down. We are sports whores in this country. We whore out our sports to a magnificent degree in this country, to where it means more than anything to some people. Education, educating people, which is altruistically what human beings should do, should strive for. You can turn the radio back up now, by the way. I'm done. That's what we should strive for. I just think, and look, folks, I'll say it for the fifth time. I understand. Nathan's fully right. I get it. Shouldn't somebody at least bring up the topic of you're going to close potentially 12 branch campuses while you spend $700 million on your football stadium? Is it at least a discussion worth having, or am I wasting everybody's time right now? Because I feel I'm probably wasting everybody's time right now.
I'd like to say that it is a discussion. I don't think it is, though, because you realize where the money is coming in from. That's the sad reality, like I just mentioned, is the fact that the money is coming in from the football program, and that's why they're spending $700 million to renovate a stadium compared to 12 branch campuses. It's not that it's not a discussion that should be had. It's just the fact that you could say whatever. Nothing's going to trump the fact that that stadium is more important to Penn State University
yep.
than 12 branch campuses.
And that's that further solidifies my view that college football should not be associated is not the right word. College football should not be linked hand in hand with education. College football, there should be a Pennsylvania State University football team of semi-professional players or professional player that don't go to class. You see what I'm getting at?
I agree.
That, because that's where we are now, that the whole system has become so bastardized that football players are going to make more money than they ever have, and it's only going to continue. And yet the optics of having to close branch campuses at the same time, it makes me wonder if our society isn't so effed up beyond belief that how do we save ourselves when football means so much more to us than real life for people?
I don't know if I keep going back to it. I don't know if it's the football per se. I think it's the money that means more to people. I think they realize and. In turn, that is football bringing in the money. But I think they look at the dollar signs and they say, this is going to be more beneficial to us. This is what we need to pursue.
Is that what life's about?
It's not what it's about, but
it is what it's about. It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be what it's about, yeah.
Yeah, but it is what it's about. What can I do, even if I've got to screw you over 57 times, I got to make the most money I can. Why is life like that? I'll get to some phone calls here. I just feel like it would be stupid to not even mention that these things are happening at the same time.
Fair. It sucks. It sucks, but it's an unfortunate way it is.
What if Penn State Altoona were closing after this year and your life is in upheaval?
I would be irritated. I would. I think I'd understand it, but I'd be irritated.
Right.
I understand how life works for the most part. So I'd understand that if it's not profitable for a university, why would they continue to do something like that? So, yeah. I mean, you got to bite the bullet, got to go up the UP then, I guess, at that point, if I want to finish it out, or I just find something without a degree, I guess. So
you're there for the paper.
There for the paper. It's all I care about.
Clarkster, am I just yelling into the wind and nobody cares?
No, but I would like to recognize that your Nathan is there channeling his inner John Fetterman today, I understand.
Wow.
I haven't got that comparison.
Shorts and a hoodie. He's got the
okay.
Oh,
he's
my God. Okay.
I thought we were going
something completely Clark, different.
Clarkson, we are about to have a friggin' war here that you're comparing Nathan to John Fetterman, buddy. But now we got it.
Now, that's a good comparison.
It's not a Carhartt hoodie.
So. I'm at the Capitol building at the inauguration.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
You could grow up to be a senator. Yeah.
You never know. Anyway, you never know.
Pardon me?
You never know.
He said,
I would never get into politics.
Yeah.
Never, okay. Never.
About the whole situation, it's also showing you the demand for the product is not there. You've had some of the state universities consolidate. There are other rumors that some of the other ones, you know, have some issues. So overall, but you have a backdrop of the backup quarterback at Penn State prior to his leaving was probably making more than most of the professors at Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, putting things in perspective, it's bizarre.
Let me say, I'll let you weigh in on this. Nathan, you can weigh in on this too. In terms of trying to have a full discussion on all of this, I will tell you point blank that I think college in this country is a fraud. I think that it is an outrageous pseudo Ponzi scheme type of thing that rips off ideological and susceptible people at a time in their life when they've got tons of pressure. And I'm talking about 18 to 22 year olds who feel like if they don't get the thing done in that 4-year period, but getting it done costs them $100,000 to $150,000, which is going to set. So my point is, colleges are in business to be in business. Yes. And that's the other side of what I'm saying. Okay. Should our society really favor athletes over teachers? Well, should our society favor colleges that, quite frankly, I'm not sure give a damn about students at all? They care about being in business.
Yes. And I feel like that's what I've told you since I came here.
Correct.
Is college is a complete ripoff and scam, because I don't want to go to college. I shouldn't have to go to college, but for me to even be looked at for what I want to do, I need a stupid piece of paper. Not my intelligence. I need a piece of paper.
So the rant here, Clarkster, is college sucks.
well, you've always heard the statistics. The average college graduate over a lifetime will make a heck of a lot more than the average high school.
I want to say it's 2 million, 3 million versus about like a million. It's double. It's a significant number.
Yeah, it's a significant. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it's 4 years to potentially find yourself, network, and get a piece of paper that when you present it to somebody, they'll at least maybe look at it and give you a shot, as opposed to somebody coming out of high school. And we're not in a Rust Belt economy anymore, and you're never going to bring jobs.
But it makes me wonder if these branch campuses, colleges around the country have to be closed because their business model is so broken that they shouldn't have to deal with anything athletic. You're talking about declining enrollment and all.
Yes.
Their model should be, let's just educate people, not try to make as much money as we possibly can.
Well, the support for their tuition was done to you by your government. When the government opened up the pocketbooks and said, you can borrow a great amount of money. Well, what did the colleges read? They read that situation and said, we can keep increasing our tuition because the government's going to write the check. And now you see the malaise and the problem that that is with the college debt stuff. And nobody wants to pay. I mean, there's no responsibility. Nobody wants to go out after high school and get a job and start at the bottom. Everybody wants to look for that drawer, you know, in Albert Brooks' movie, when he was unemployed. I forget what the movie was with the girl from Airplane.
Defending Your Life. Was that Defending Your Life?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Defending Your Life. But he wanted the person to look in the drawer for those $100,000 jobs.
Yeah, right, yeah. All right. I got to let you go because I got to take one more call here before we take a break. Oh, Eric, I hung up on you. Give me a call back. I did find this. Eric, I know you were waiting online for a couple minutes. Call me right back if you can. Men with graduate degrees earn $1.5 million more in median lifetime earnings than high school graduates. Women with graduate degrees earn $1.1 million more. So, and my guess is a high school degree probably earns you, give or take, I don't see a number on here, but $800,000 to $1 million, which means that college degree is probably going to earn you $2 to $2.5 million. That sound reasonable?
That's fair. Yeah.
Probably more than double. We do have Eric, I think, calling back in. I'm going to take this one call because he was hanging on the line before I hung up on. All right, Eric, go ahead, buddy. What's up?
Hey, just a couple things. isn't the athletic department and this paying of the stadium, isn't it being self-funded? I mean, it's not coming out of the general funds of the school.
No. The Penn State Athletic Department operates on its own. That's a great point. That's fair. The athletic department has its own budget. All the 31 varsity sports are paid for. But now the stadium, that is a different thing. I can't answer 100%. They've raised about $80 million in private donations. They still need $620 million. So there's going to be some financing going on here. And they can say that it's all just the athletic department and not the general fund. Eric, I'm talking about the optics of it. $700 million here, close these 12 schools.
But I think it would happen even if they didn't have that. Those schools weren't always there. When they started the Farmers College of Pennsylvania, it was Old Main.
You're absolutely right. I'll grant you. I'll grant you 100%. Everything, you're absolutely right. You're right. It still looks awful.
All I'm saying about it is, Corey, it was a supply and demand.
Listen to me. I'm telling you, you're right. I don't have a leg to stand on other than the fact to say it looks terrible. Even if you're right, can you at least agree with me that it looks awful?
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with spending $700 million on sports and closing 12 campuses. You don't think that looks bad?
No, because if they don't keep that cash cow going, there'll be other things that will be affected, like 31 potential sports they'll have to look at.
Okay. All right. Well, we've reached an impasse there.
But I will say this: you were talking about not only that, but how about these professional teams holding these cities hostages? Cincinnati's screwing around with their, and they want the taxpayers to pay for billionaires' stadiums.
They know
that's even more ridiculous.
They know the leverage they have. They know that if they were to leave, it would cost those cities massive amounts of money and revenue and all kinds of aspects. Just look at Penn State football with all the hotel revenue and restaurant revenue and all that stuff.
Eric,
I'm going to tell you, all these teams, they got everybody by the balls. They've got everybody by the balls and they control all the shots. And you know what? They know it and they will play that leverage game as long as they can.
Well, there's a Waterloo coming for it.
Yeah. All right, very good. Appreciate the call. Good stuff, man.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Atlanta Motor Speedway. Austin Hill makes it 3 wins in a row from Atlanta.
Well, I mean, it means a lot. I know Junior's probably going to be mad about it because he doesn't think Atlanta's a drafting track. But like I think I had told Junior this before, don't hate the player, hate the game. So, I have more opportunities at being able to run a super speedway style race. And everybody at RCR, ECR has been able to just give me a super fast Bennett Chevrolet each and every week. And it's just so much fun to strap into my number one Bennett Chevrolet, or number 21 rather, Bennett Chevrolet, each and every week. And you know, to do what we did tonight was very special. I came off of Daytona when I was pretty mad. Let's just leave it at that. I was very frustrated.
Austin led 146 of the 163 laps, holding off Justin Allgaier by inches at the line for the win. Eric Almirola was third, followed by Sammy Smith, and Nick Sanchez rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings, Austin Hill leads Sheldon Creed by just 1 point after this win. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Circuit of the Americas, some road course racing, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on CW. You're on the final lap.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit BoswellPipes.com.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Lucky Black! You played this at the music trivia? People get this right?
I have played this. Do you know the year?
See, screw you and your damn years. Back in Black, I will say 77.
It's a little bit later, I'm pretty sure. I'm double checking.
A little bit later?
Yeah.
Is it in the 80s or is it in the
70s? Yeah, it's in the 80s.
Okay. Yeah. You and your damn years with these music the trivia.
Yeah, it's 1980.
Well, hey, there we go. There we go, right there. I think I did pretty well. You're over there like, oh, you're wrong. You're just flat wrong. I think my answer's pretty damn good.
It's close. I want to say AC/DC's first album was 75.
No points. And the audience is dumber for having listened to
now,
what
now if I would have said from the 80s, what year would you have guessed? Early 80s.
Oh yeah, when I said 77, I was thinking somewhere, and again, this is how my mind works. If I'm thinking somewhere between like 77 and 81, I've nailed it. But for your music trivia, no, I didn't get close enough.
So if you're within a 3-year gap, though,
here's the thing: a 3-year gap, like nothing happens in life.
But you're given a 30% chance. Can I give you the decade?
That's correct.
And if it was AC/DC, it's probably more early. So I want you
to at least acknowledge that my 1977 guess was not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's not terrible because it's in the ballpark. It's in the ballpark.
Exactly.
If you like did not give me a decade and you said within 5 years.
Yeah, you didn't give me a decade that time.
I didn't.
When I said 77 was the first thought in your mind, you're wrong, or hey, you're pretty close.
I thought you were close.
Okay.
I thought you were close. I thought the only thing I thought of was it was too early.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that came to me.
Oh, we played music trivia down in, and this pissed me off. We won music trivia 3 times down in Florida, but one was Endless Love, and I said 1982. And it was one of those I'm going back and forth, 82, 81, 82, 81, 82, 82 and I said 82. Yeah, it's 81. We ended up winning it. We end up winning that round of music trivia, but I hate when that happens. When I'm going back and forth, and I know it's 81 or 82, because you're one of the few people that gets me on this. I remember like all the number one year in songs, you know, Physical from that, you know, and Betty Davis, all that stuff, and I relate everything to like what was the number one song of that year.
That's what I did too.
Yeah,
that's why I relate artists. I don't know how I relate artists. I feel like. I always relate to an album cover. So if you can tell me what...
Are you big in albums?
I'm not big in albums, but I can tell you, like, I don't know album names, but I can tell you songs on the same album.
That's good. There's no reason for a young person to be into albums. None. Because everything is single. Everything is now. Now, I know people, I'm big into music, but I've never been big into albums. I know people, Scott Franco from the Mirror, Buck Frank from the Mirror, they can sit there and tell you every song that's on every album, like from 75 to 85. They remember things very specifically from album perspective. I remember song, you know, single perspective, mm-hmm. but I was never somebody that, I never bought albums. I just listened to individual songs on the radio.
Yeah, see, I'm not, I listen to individual songs, but you see whenever you play on Spotify, you get
right,
an image
yeah,
to pop up. So,
right.
So I'm looking at Purple Rain right now from Prince.
But you got to listen to multiple songs from you would on that.
Yeah.
But if you don't listen to multiple songs from
no
the
idea.
Bangles album in 1988, you don't know the whole album. You just
yes.
know the one
yeah,
song.
So 88 I know is Eternal Flame, and then 86 is Walk Like an Egyptian, and then also Manic Monday. I want to say 86 is Walk Like an Egyptian. I'm pretty
it's
sure
87.
Right.
87. 87. Okay. Manic Monday was 86.
Manic Monday was 86.
Good stuff.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99 and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family at McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX Series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting. Whatever you need, the Kubota BX Series can handle. The Kubota BX Series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX Series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM.
All righty, Nathan's going to be hosting on Thursday.
Ooh.
What do you got?
My mind's blank right now. I gotta do some. I usually get my thoughts in the shower in the morning.
How are you gonna exact? You know when I generally come up with Jim, I've got you online, but we're about out of time. You know when I usually come up with what I'm going to talk about for a given day?
When is that?
2:30.
It's not too bad. Usually what I'll do is I'm sitting in my classes. I got nothing to
yeah.
do. I just brainstorm.
Yeah. Well, you got to check the national headlines. You got to see what's going on. I didn't even get to Matt McGloin today. Matt McGloin is going to go be an offensive analyst for Bill O'Brien at Boston College, which is awesome. He resigned.
I never knew about that.
He just happened last night. So, but that was something I wanted to talk about, and then we ended up talking about friggin' Penn State Altoona and campuses.
Hey, you never know where the show's going to take you ever.
That's
so
exactly
we'll, hey,
right.
So we'll see what happens on Thursday. Make sure you're tuning in.
6.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM, Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service.